With the sweep and fury of the resurrection, there's a new world a-coming. Every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing Negro life in America, based on the theme of Roy Ottley's book, New World A-Coming. Today we present Report from the Front, the dramatic eyewitness accounts of Negroes in action in the European Theater of War, starring Canada Lee, Frederick O'Neill, and Charles Perry, written, produced, and directed by Mitchell Grayson. And here's Roy Ottley.
The other day, there was an item in the newspaper quoting General George Marshall, Chief of Staff of the United States Army. Said General Marshall,
"The Nazi gasoline stocks are practically dried up. The Germans barely have the fuel to move supplies, let alone supplies and artillery. But their supply problem is far simpler than ours, as they are at home. Replacements of tanks is also relatively easy for them. A Nazi tank seriously damaged goes to a factory not far away. But when our armor is knocked out, it is lost if it cannot be repaired on the field."
Repairing tanks on the field is vital to holding newly won positions gained by our victorious armies, vital to the men who are marching ahead through town after town in the European theater of war, vital to the final Allied victory in Europe. Today, 170 Negro soldiers of the 228th Tank Retrieving Company are moving into battle areas under shell fire to rescue ripped open tanks, trucks, and jeeps, which they haul back behind the lines to be repaired and then return them to combat. Here is the story of Lieutenant John M. Couch of the 228th Tank Retrieving Company as reported from a live force headquarters overseas.
"I'm from Chicago. I used to be a postal clerk in the daytime. At night, I was a pre-med student at Northwestern University. That was before I was assigned to the 228th Tank Retrievers. I have plenty of stories to tell about our outfit, one's about as important as the other, but there was a time when two platoons from the company were sent to southern France to retrieve 7th Army tanks. We worked on the battle lines near the Swiss border. We were driving our 45-ton trucks. Those trucks are as large as a suburban bungalow. Well, we were searching the road ahead of us for fallen tanks."
"Hey, Lieutenant."
"Yes, Sergeant."
"What's that up ahead of us?"
"Where?"
"Just off the side of the road, straight ahead of us. Here, look through these binoculars."
"Say, looks like a few tanks."
"Yeah, well, what's on them, stars or swastikas?"
"Stars."
"Let's race out there and get them."
"Say, Sergeant."
"Yeah."
"I wonder what's up. Looks like maybe a trap."
Yeah, I thought of that myself."
"Say, look at our men. They're being forced to retreat beyond that hill."
"The Germans must have us outnumbered. What do you think we ought to do?"
"We counted 15 damaged American tanks on this road, is that right?"
"Yes, sir."
"I'll give you one guess what we're going to do."
"Okay, sir."
"Signal the other tanks behind us to get those tanks picked up and loaded aboard."
"Yes, sir."
"We've got 15 tanks to save and no time to lose. Now hop to it."
"Lieutenant, look."
"What's up?"
"German troops coming up from the other side of the hill."
"Great Scott."
"What's your order, sir?"
"They're marching on foot, infantrymen. I don't see any mechanized troops, do you?"
"No, sir. They're just marching."
"I judge about a mile and a half away."
"Yes, sir."
"Well, what are we waiting for? We just wasted 15 seconds talking." "Well, I'm here to tell a story, so I guess you must know what happened. We got those 15 tanks off the road in exactly 10 minutes, and while we were sweating it out, we could see the Jerrys advancing on us. They tried shooting at us, but they didn't get a single one of us. They didn't get our tanks either. I'm kind of proud of my outfit. In the 11 months that we've been overseas, we Negroes in the 228th Tank Retrieving Company hauled back 2,000 tanks for salvage and repair. And that's not counting the German armor and the other equipment we picked up. Well, all in all, this amounted to 64,000 tons of tanks saved from falling into the hands of the Germans. The estimated cost of these tanks is about $70 million, and all of this without losing a single man in our company. I tell you, it's a record we're all mighty proud of."
Negro soldiers are not only salvaging tanks and mechanized equipment for our armies abroad, but they are also fighting in tank units attacking the fascist armies on the field of battle. One such unit is the 761st Tank Battalion, fighting somewhere on the Western Front, under the direct command of Pistol Packin' General George S. Patton, Jr. A few days ago, Lieutenant William E. Blake of Atlantic City, New Jersey, a former member of the 761st Tank Battalion, was in Washington recalling how he was wounded while dashing across southern France with General Patton's 3rd Army.
We knew General Patton needed our tanks, and we've been trying for days to catch up with him. When we were assigned to the 3rd Army, the morale of our men went sky high, and we set out at once to join him. A few days later, however, we were all in the dumps.
Oh, what's the use of going on, Bill? He's too far ahead of us. We'll never catch up to him.
Yeah, he's traveling so fast, he'll be in Berlin before we ever catch up with the 3rd Army.
I know how you feel, fellas. But what do we do? Anyone have any suggestions?
We'll wear out our tanks before we catch up with that gang of fast rollers.
Well, let's not moan about it.
I think I'll hand in my resignation from this war. I'm going to resign.
Now, what's cracking you, Johnny?
Now, here we get the best assignment in this whole war. We get orders to join General Patton's 3rd Army. So what happens? We start out to meet him and find out he's moving so fast, we can't even catch up with him. I want to resign.
Don't be a comedian, Johnny. Wait a minute. I just got an idea.
Yeah, what?
Don't keep us in suspense. Spill it. Come on out with it.
Look at our tanks. What do you see?
Tanks?
No, I'm serious. Look, fellas, we've been making 50 to 60 miles a day. That's because we've been traveling with our steel combat tracks on. We could make 90 to 100 miles a day if we took those steel tracks off and put on our fast rubber tracks.
Say, that is an idea.
Certainly. That's one way to catch up with those 2 ivory-handled pistols. What do you say? Shall we change to rubber tracks?
Listen, man, I'm changing mine right now.
Let's all change them.
Yeah, then race like hell to catch them. I never dreamed that any army could move so fast while fighting, but General Patton's 3rd Army did. And we actually did 90 to 100 miles a day when we finally overtook them. They say at one time, headquarters had to drop maps to General Patton by plane because the 3rd Army ran off the maps they started with, and no one from headquarters was able to catch up with the general on the ground. When finally the men of the 761st Tank Battalion caught up with General Patton, he was waiting impatiently for supplies in Nancy, France. We were in battalion formation when the order was given to man all guns. Suddenly, a bunch of jeeps loaded with MPs and 50 caliber machine guns rolled in and took up strategic positions. Something was in the wind. We didn't know quite what. But whatever it was important. Suddenly, a single jeep came dashing up and stopped beside an armored scout car. A 3-star general vouted up on the hood of the armored car, and when I saw his 2 ivory-handed pistols, I knew I was looking at Lieutenant General George S. Patton, Jr.
Now, I'm not going to waste any words. I'm going to tell you what we intend to do and expect you to do it. We're on our way to Germany, and I'm banking on you men of the 761st to help the 3rd Army get there. Now, I don't care what color any man is, as long as he gets out there and kills us dirty rats in the green suits. That's all I want to say. Good luck. I'll see you when the battle's over.
It all seems like a dream now that I look back on it. When General Patton struck at the town 3,000 yards from the German border, I was liaison officer between the 26th Infantry Division, known as the Yankees, and a company of tanks from my battalion attached to the New Englanders for support. When we entered the city, I was located in a building that was between me and the direction from which the Jerry's artillery shells were coming. Then I received orders to report to the regimental command post for instructions. It was pitch dark, and the only way I could find my way up the street was by hugging the building as I went along. But just as I got outside my building, a German shell landed on the outskirts of the village. Well, this made me feel pretty good, for I figured Jerry didn't have the range yet and I'd be able to make it to the command post before he got it. But I guess I was wrong. I heard a bomb scream over my head and I fanned it out on the ground close behind the building. The shell landed on the top of the building. A big pile of debris fell in the middle of my back as I lay there. The concussion stunned me. And I lay there for quite a while. Finally, I got myself together and began crawling on to the command post. I decided to be best if I didn't tell anyone about my injury. I didn't want to be separated from my outfit on his way to Berlin. I wouldn't risk being sent to a hospital behind the lines while the fellas in my outfit headed east through Germany. Well, a tight outfit fights for 2 days, then needs a 3rd day to make repairs.
Say, do you think of this outfit, Bill, now that we're in the thick of it?
It's what we've been wanting all along.
Did you ever think it would turn out this way?
What do you mean? Fighting with General Patton?
Uh-huh.
Sure I did, if we ever caught up with him.
I just finished a letter to my folks back home. Gonna drop it off at the next mail station if we get time to stop for a minute.
Your family and mine ought to be plenty proud of what's happened to our particular outfit. Did you tell them what old Blood and Gut said?
No. I'm gonna save that till I get leave. A story like that got to be told face to face. But I did tell him about how we were sent out to take the pressure off the fighting down near Bastogne yesterday. Told him how we moved so fast and fought so often that at one time we only had 9 out of 54 tanks ready to fight. Old General Patton called for that 9, and we give them to him.
Say, Hank.
Yeah?
Am I seeing things or those 4 bomber tanks coming toward us?
Hey, that's the 4th Armored Division, all right.
Why, just yesterday, they were sent out to spearhead the attack on the Jerry's, and now they're coming back as we're going up? That's funny, isn't it?
Say, there's a tank man just stopped. Let's go over and ask him what's up.
Yeah, come on. Buddy, what happened to the 4 bombers?
What'd you say?
I said, what happened to the 4 bombers? Are you retreating?
Retreating? Ha! We never heard that word before. We've taken the township 15 miles ahead of the front. Then we turned around and came back to help you guys as you went into the frontal attack.
Say, that's terrific news.
Sure is, and boy, we have a terrific outfit.
For a total of 8 days, I managed to keep up with the grueling advances of General Patton's forces. Then it happened. I fell on the side of the road with a stringing pain in my spine. Exhausted.
Easy there. You're all right now. You're all right.
Where am I?
You're in an American field hospital. Your division went on ahead without you. You've been badly hurt.
What? What are you saying? Who are you?
I'm a doctor attached to the medical corps. Captain Gardner's my name.
What happened to me, sir?
Well, you suffered some serious injuries to your spinal column. You're going to be evacuated to a hospital far behind the lines.
Evacuated?
Yes, Lieutenant Blake. We're planning to send you to the hospital at Rouen. You'll be there for a little while, then you'll be flown to England. Possibly after that, you'll be taken back to the United States.
Taken back?
You've seen all of this war that you're going to see. As a matter of fact, from now on, you're out of it.
So I'm back in the States now on leave from Camp Pickett, where I'm still receiving hospital care and treatment. In the past couple of weeks, I've been reading in the papers what General Patton's armored troops have been doing. I guess you have, too. I'm sorry I'm not back there fighting with them, but one thing I am glad of. Negroes are fighting in tank battalions and doing a fine job. There's no color discrimination in that division. A white soldier's life depends on the fighting ability of a Negro soldier and vice versa. Together, this war is being fought by colored and white Americans. And together, we're going to make sure to share the victory.
That was the story of Lieutenant William E. Blake of Atlantic City, New Jersey, a former member of the 761st Tank Battalion attached to General Patton's 3rd Army. Negroes are today fighting in all branches of the armed forces, tanks, infantry, Navy, and Air Force. When Roy Ottley, the author of New World, A Coming Return to the United States after his roving assignment as war newspaper PM, he told of an incident which happened in the Mediterranean Theater of War. An incident which, since that time, has been told and retold by the men in the service fighting on the Italian front. Here's the story.
Here's an inspiring story making the rounds of the European battlefront today. It's the story of the Red Tails, an all-Negro fighting group with top-notch morale, which has run up an enviable record in skybomb battles from North Africa to Germany. I've seen hundreds of silver-colored planes with glistening red tails sparkling in the sun, swooping gracefully out of bright blue sky, peeling down with tremendous speed and with sputtering blasts from their high-powered engines, straightened out to land on makeshift dirt runways somewhere in the Adriatic. The Red Tails are the all-Negro fighter group of the 15th Air Force, commanded by Colonel Benjamin Davis, Jr., son of Brigadier General Davis, the highest-ranking Negro officer in the United States Army. The Red Tails flying P-51 Mustangs have blasted enemy targets from North Africa to France, from Italy to Yugoslavia, Hungary, and Germany. In one day alone, they had gone up 9 times on 9 successful bombing missions and returned to win the commendations of General George Montgomery. The main task of this fighter group has been to protect our bombers against enemy fighters as they fly a protective wing in front, behind, and on the sides of the great American bomber fortresses. Returning from a mission over southern France one day, a red-tailed flyer noticed a crippled bomber limping homeward. The men in the bomber, 10 of them, were all white flyers. Inside the bomber, they were deciding what to do about their ship.
Captain, I've just been out on the wing of the plane. Those two motors have been badly damaged by enemy flak. They won't hold up much longer.
Pretty bad, huh?
Yes, sir.
We're losing speed. We'd be an easy target if any Jerry showed up suddenly.
They'd blow us to kingdom come, sir.
There are only two things we can do under the circumstances.
Yes, sir.
We can either bail out here in enemy territory and be captured, or we could try to limp back to our base.
We're losing more speed, sir.
Oh, that's too bad. We dropped far behind the other planes on this mission. We're out here all alone now. Give the order to bail out.
Rear gunner to pilot. Rear gunner to pilot.
Pilot to rear gunner. Go ahead.
Say, Captain, I just spotted a plane at 11 o'clock. Can't make out whether it's an enemy plane or not.
Better not take any chances. Probably a Jerry. If it gets too close, better let him have a burst.
Yes, sir.
And all gunners stand by. Plane approaching at 11 o'clock.
Here he comes.
Pilot to rear gunner, how'd you make out there, Shorty?
I missed him.
Wait a minute, hold your fire. Pilot in that plane is trying to signal us. Holy mackerel, it's a red-tail fighter, one of the Negro flyers. He's rocking his wings to show he's American. I'll contact him through our radio. Hello, P-51 Red-tail. Hello, P-51 Red-tail. Can you hear me? Over.
Yes, I can hear you. Pretty badly shot up, aren't you?
Yeah, two of our motors are out of commission.
I noticed you were in trouble. I broke away from the squad to give you a hand in case any Jerry start to attack you. I'll stick with you and give you some protection if you think you can make it back to the airbase. Over.
That's great. We were just going to bail out, but if you can give us stay, we'll get back to the base. Okay?
Okay, let's go. P-51 to Liberator. P-51 to Liberator.
Go ahead, P-51.
How are you doing? Think you can hold out all right? Over.
It's only about another 100 miles back to the base. We've been losing more and more speed, but I think we'll make it if nothing else interferes.
Hold it just a minute. I think I see something.
What is it, P-51?
Yes, I do. Not so good. Two Jerry planes at 4 o'clock, coming up pretty fast.
Can you handle them?
I don't think so. I'll peel off and take care of them. You keep straight on your course, and I'll pick you up on the way home.
Okay, go to it.
Roger.
And good luck.
Roger. P-51 to Liberator. P-51 to Liberator.
Hey there, how'd you make out?
I'm with you, ain't I?
Ha, you certainly are.
They ain't bothering us anymore, are they?
Woo, no they're not.
You're safe. I got one of them and the other one turned around and went home.
Thanks, buddy. You saved our lives.
When the bomber approached the nearest Allied base, they found they had other troubles. The bomber's undercarriage had been shot away, and it was forced to crash land. Luckily, no one was hurt. When the Negro red-tailed flyer landed directly behind them, the white fellows rushed out across the field, lifted him out of his plane and onto their shoulders. They started to kiss him on the cheek. Their lives were saved by this red-tailed pilot. That's a true story. And here's the payoff on the Red Tails. In more than 100 combat missions on which the Red Tails had given escort to cover their big friends, the long-range heavy bombers, they had not lost a single ship to enemy forces, a record the entire Army is proud of.
You've been listening to New World Cummings' dramatization, Report from the Western Front. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:30, when we again present New World Coming. If you'd like to attend a broadcast of New World Coming, you may obtain tickets by writing to WMCA, 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City, and they will be forwarded to you at once. This was a public service feature of WMCA.
Women of America, this is a straight from the shoulder, unvarnished appeal to you for help As you know, thousands of American men are being wounded on far-flung battlefronts today. Every hospital overseas is filled to capacity, and casualties are now being returned to this country at a rate of 1,000 every day. Registered nurses are needed to care for these hospitalized men in both Army and veteran hospitals. If you are untrained, by offering your services for even a few hours a day, you help release a trained nurse for the important work of bringing wounded men back from the battlefront. So whether you're trained or untrained, young or old, your services are needed desperately. Won't you go to your local Red Cross today and find out when and how you can serve? Thank you.
Get in there. Sit down. Sit down. Go on, sit down. Me too. Okay, Fritz, you can put your hands down. Hands down. That's it. Now sit there like a good guy or I'll press the trigger and put a... what's the use talking to you? I should have taken German in school instead of Latin. Galia aeonis divisia. What's the matter with me? I guess I'm sort of excited. Yeah, my first prisoner, so I'm excited. Won't the sergeant open his big blue eyes? Private First Class J.D. Henry reports the capture of an enemy lieutenant, sir. I lost contact with my patrol, sir, but since we had arranged to rendezvous at the stone house near the creek, I was on my way there when I met this Nazi aviator. I captured this Nazi aviator who had bailed out and was trying to make his way back to his lines. Yeah, I'm talking about you, mister. I sure wish I knew what your name was.
Carl Eckhart.
Huh?
I speak English.
Well, why didn't you let me know before? What did you let me go on talking to myself for like a Charlie McCarthy?
I do not understand.
All right, all right. Whether you talk English or not, sit there quiet and we'll get along fine. Are you really a Luftwaffe lieutenant?
Yeah, yes.
I did all right, didn't I?
If I had not lost my revolver during my descent.
C'est la guerre, which means...
I speak French.
Okay, now sit still.
I am doing nothing.
Okay, keep doing it.
You are waiting for your patrol?
Yeah, then we'll...
What?
Sit still. There's someone. You, back there, come out with your hands up.
Per favore, signore, sono vecchio, spaventato. Voglio dire nulla di male.
Fermate! Non te muovere, vecchio!
Well, so you talk that, too.
A little. Chi sei? Che cosa fa qui?
Mi era vecchio, malato, lasciato indietro, l'ibomba mi spaventata.
Stai zitto! Here's no one. An old man so afraid he has been hiding here through the bombing.
All right. Tell him to stay over in that corner and he won't get hurt.
Villa! Si edite! Stai zitto!
Si, signor, si.
I would like to have some water.
Water? Sure. Here's my canteen. Catch.
Danke.
That's okay. Drink all you want.
That is enough. Your canteen.
Toss it. You got any rations left?
Nothing.
Hungry?
Yeah.
I've got some of mine left. Biscuits, chocolate. I'll split it with you. Only sit still.
Thank you very much, American.
That's okay, Nazi.
American!
Huh? Did you say something?
My watch. It broke when I left my airplane. Could you tell me what time it is?
You're not going anywhere, but it's almost 6.
The sun is setting.
Yeah. That old man, he sure can sleep.
Yeah, your patrol is not coming?
They'll get here. Don't worry.
I do not worry. I am your prisoner.
Yeah. Sure must be hard for you to take. Prisoner of a guy you outrank.
You said it before. C'est la guerre.
Yeah, but if my number's up, it'll at least have to be a lieutenant colonel.
I would like to ask you something.
Go ahead.
What will you do when soon it will be dark?
That's not worth 64 bucks.
Pardon?
I mean, that's an easy question. Tie you up. I'm not going to lose you, mister. Keep your hands where I can see them, or I'll do it now.
I was only reaching for my harmonica.
Your what?
Harmonica.
Hey, I searched you. You haven't got any harmonica.
Here, in my tunic. You did not notice? May I?
Okay. Okay. You sure can play that thing.
Don't you?
You're talking to a guy from Indiana.
Does that mean you can do it?
A little.
Would you show me?
Well, okay.
That is very good. You are...
Keep away.
Oh, I am sorry. It was just that your playing was most expert.
Thanks. But it's still just a mouth organ. Here, you'd better do the playing.
All right. Yes, of course. We have many such birds on my father's farm. In the marshes, there are wild geese. In the woods, there are grouse and partridges and quail.
How's the fishing?
Oh, carp, pike, the eel, shad, the perch.
What do you know? Sounds just like Indiana.
Oh, no. You have so many fish there. Trout, pickerel, muskellunge.
How did you know that?
Oh, I have always wanted to visit your country, so I've read all about it.
You know what I miss most of all?
What?
The meadowlarks. Yeah, rising up out of the fields and giving out into the sky and saying, whoo, sod should hear me talk.
I think it is very nice. I too miss many things. The soft nights on my seagull ship.
Your, what's that?
It means my sailboat. This time of year, when the work was done, I would be on my boat on the river. It is so beautiful.
Yeah. I'll bet it is. I've got a canoe.
Oh, that must be good sport.
Yeah. We've got some fast-running water near where I live. I mean in the spring, when the river is high.
You spoke of the birds. Sometimes, when I was flying very high, I would think I could hear the birds on the big tree outside my window at home when it was early in the morning.
A guy thinks funny things.
Yeah.
You know, this sure isn't in the book.
What?
You and me. Sitting here talking for almost 2 hours about growing corn, Indiana, the birds, how you and your dad raised barley and oats and the fish and everything else that doesn't add up to this 45 in my hand and that swastika pin on your tunic.
Yeah, it is strange.
You know, we must be about the same height, the same weight, same build.
Yeah.
We both play harmonica pretty good, and we're both really a couple of hicks.
Hicks?
Farm boys.
Oh, yes, farm boys.
Would I like to be sitting at Ma's supper table right now? That doggone patrol.
If you wanted to, I could lead you to our camp very quickly. And before it was dark, we could be well fed. We would start with beer zupa.
Say that again.
Oh, but you have not had one of life's great wonders if you have not had beer zupa. A liter of beer, warmed with 2 slices of lemon, a clover, a bit of cinnamon... eggs, a cup of cream, all beaten to a froth and poured over toasted bread. And there would be paprika schnitzel and kartoffel pancakes covered with powdered sugar.
Would you please shut up now? That'd be a heck of a thing to tell my grandchildren how I traded in my first prisoner for schnitzel and pancakes.
There's no harm in asking. I too am hungry.
Yeah? Well, it won't be long now. They'll get here. Just relax. Like the old man there.
What is your name?
Huh?
Your first name.
Joe.
I am Carl.
Okay.
Joe?
Yes.
The city of New York. How much of it was ruined?
Ruined? New York? What are you talking about?
New York, when we bombed it, the skyscrapers. Was there terrible damage?
Bombed it? Ah, quit your kidding.
We will return to our special fourth for the fifth presentation of Surrender after this message from Bell Telephone.
New York calling Denver, calling St. Petersburg, Kansas City, Hartford, Philadelphia, Chicago.
Easy, isn't it? You lift the receiver, ask for the operator.
Number, please. One moment, please.
One moment, please. It's a matter of moments now. It's 100 million miles of wire with radio telephone links overseas. It's a highly skilled organization of more than 500,000 men and women on the job every day and night to serve you. Serving America in 1,000 ways, in crisis and everyday affairs.
Watchtower 10 reporting, hello. Brush fire running south by southwest, wind up to 30 miles an hour.
May I have 4-6000, please?
Operator! Please connect me to the nearest hospital.
And say, Joe, I'd like to increase that order by 20 tons. How soon can you ship out of Chicago? 2 days? Fine. Give me a ring if there's any delay.
That's the familiar picture. That's part of our age. We're used to miracles today. But how about the birth of miracles? Mr. Shirley, would you read the opening paragraph of the sheet of paper, please?
Of course. The proprietors of the telephone, the invention of Alexander Graham Bell, for which patents have been issued by the United States and Great Britain, are now prepared to furnish telephones for the transmission of articulate speech through instruments not more than 20 miles apart.
It's all right. Just read on, please, if you will.
Conversation can be easily carried on after slight practice and with the occasional repetition of a word or sentence. On first listening to the telephone, though the sound is perfectly audible, the articulation seems to be indistinct, but after a few trials, the ear becomes accustomed to the peculiar sound and finds little difficulty in understanding the words. Well.
Mr. Shirley, you've just read the opening of the first telephone advertisement, which appeared in Cambridge, Massachusetts, May 1877, the year following Bell's first successful transmission of speech over wire, not more than 20 miles apart. That makes us smile today, doesn't it? Always easy to look back and smile. We now return to our special fourth for the fifth episode, Surrender.
When the moon shines brightly on the Wabash, I miss my Indiana home. Hey, we're terrific.
At least good.
Hey, that old man is still sleeping.
Yeah, when they are so old, they are like children with the sleep.
Yeah. I think I'll meet you in South Bend post-war, and we'll go into vaudeville.
You mean theater?
Yeah.
No, thank you. That is not in my plans.
No, in mine. You like blondes? Blonde girls.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That's the way I figured it. We've agreed on everything else so far. My girl's a blonde. That's my post-war plan.
This me is not so simple.
Huh?
I have many blondes.
Oh,
it is a great misfortune.
What's so misfortunate about that?
I meet the pretty girl. I take her for a ride on my boat. The moon is slow. My heart grows full. We kiss, and I am in love. Then I meet another girl. Again, the boat, river, the moon, the kiss on the full heart. And again, I am in love. This goes on all through the summer. And the summer is very long.
All blondes?
Well, in the moonlight, I sometimes make a few exceptions.
You must have a busy furlough.
Yeah, yes, I do.
The sky sure is getting dark.
Ah, so?
Some more rain, I guess. Hope the fellas get here before it starts.
They are good friends?
Yeah, they'll get here. Hey, how about you singing me a song?
Sing? What?
Oh, anything.
I do not know. Military songs?
Oh, no. None of that.
Would you like to hear a song my mother sings?
Why not?
I only sing in my own language.
That's all right.
No, I will try to translate it first. It is called De Lorelei. Mm-hmm. The prettiest maiden sits at the topmost wonderful. Her golden dress glitters. She combs her golden hair.
Sing it.
Die schönste Jungfrau sitzt dort oben wunderbar. Ihr goldenes Geschmeide blitzet. Sie kamt ihr goldenes Haar.
I like that.
Le bomb!
Well, that woke the old man up.
Dio mio, le bomb!
He thinks it's more bombing.
Yes.
Dio mio!
There she blows. Tell him it's only thunder.
Hey, Saltanto! Il tuono, pezzo d'ricchettino! Riaddormentarti!
Those doggone fools, why don't they get here? The stone house at the bridge. I said I'd be here. Hey, rain, like in Indiana. Okay for the crops, eh, farmer?
Jess, we have no quarrel.
What?
You and I, we have no quarrel.
As two human beings, I guess we haven't, really.
May I say something?
Sure.
You are tired.
Sure.
I am too, very much. I would like to sleep.
Go ahead.
I want you to know that you too can sleep.
Yeah?
I will not try to escape. I give you my word.
Sarge, I don't know. Where? Oh, Carl. Was I asleep?
Jess.
Very long?
Jess.
How do you like that? Morning?
Almost.
When did it stop raining?
Only a few moments ago.
You haven't slept?
No.
Well, I sleep and you don't. And the old man? He's still at it, eh? Funny thing. I was sitting in the dark thinking about your mother. I've never seen her, of course, but I was thinking about the song you sang. You said she always sang it. And I was trying to figure out what she looked like. My mother's awfully small, small and thin. My dad's tried to fatten her up for years. But she's got so much energy, she burns it all up. But after what you said about German food, I was thinking that your mother would be, well, sort of, you know, comfortable. And then I sort of kept hearing you say I could sleep, and I began arguing with you about that, but I guess that's when I fell asleep. What's the matter? You just sit there. Oh, I'm sorry if what I said about your mother. I mean, I'm sorry.
It is time to go.
Go? Where?
Come.
What?
Get to your feet.
Carl?
I have given you an order. Stand up.
My gun. My gun!
Stand up!
But your word. You gave me your word.
Close your mouth. We are getting out of here.
Per favore, signore, non mi lasciate, ho paura.
Schließen Sie den Mund, du alter Hund!
Ma sono vecchio, non mi lasciate. Pretendente, de quale parte?
Alti, clappa!
Why?
Close your mouth! Move, for damn to Americana!
My God!
You think I do not know what's going on in your mind? Do you think the slower you go, the more chance there will be of that patrol of yours catching up with us? Faster, I tell you! Faster! Schneller, du idiot! Du nah! Du dickköpfen idiot! Keep moving. This is the stream which leads to my camp. I know it is. Lift your feet! Move! Ich werde sie in unser Lager zu bringen, du dummer Amerikaner! Schneller! 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 All right. Now we can rest. That's right, Joe. What did you used to say to me? Relax? We are quite safe from your patrols now. A few moments rest and then... Well...
Perhaps I talk too much about the paprika schnitzel, but the bread in our camp is quite good. Well now, Joe, I am surprised at you, just because I tricked you with sleep. You Americans are supposed to be such good sports. When I was your prisoner, I was most congenial. What is the matter? I was your prisoner, now you are mine. Your own words, c'est la guerre.
I swear I don't get you.
What? What did you say?
I don't get you.
What?
I look at you. I think to myself, he's just like I am. He's from a farm. He knows all about crops and animals and birds and boating on the river, just the way I do. He's got a family, a mother who used to sing to him.
What are you talking about?
I just don't get you.
Why do you keep saying that? What are you trying to tell me?
Tell you? I'm trying to find out.
Find out what?
I never saw a man commit a murder.
Murder? Who? That old man? This is war!
War? War is guys like you and me. What's war got to do with using my gun to kill a frightened old man?
Vermin in the cellar!
When I got this GI uniform, they gave me lectures all about you. Showed me moving pictures. Here's a Nazi, they said. A Nazi. Special kind of guy. I looked, I listened, I believed. And then when I met you, you weren't like that at all. You were a guy just like I was, inside another uniform. It didn't make much sense. It still doesn't make much sense. How can you sing and talk about your home and your family and then murder a scared old man and call it war? Answer me that.
You keep saying that we are alike. That is a foolish conceit. We are not alike. You see an old man die, and you are no longer a soldier. You are a puking farm boy, wailing with your Moses on your Jesus on the Mount.
Maybe we're not your idea of soldiers, but haven't they told you yet that we're winning this war?
What did you say?
That we're winning this war.
You lie.
Where's your African army? Where's your Russian army? Where's the Luftwaffe over Berlin?
In 1914, my father was a young man. In 1918, when he came home, he was an old man. He thought we had lost the war. He did not understand that we had not lost the war. For every battle of that war was a proving ground for the great planners and strategists of our military tradition. And so it will be with this war, American. Even if you overpower us by the weight of numbers, and your mongrel armies march from one end of the Vaterland to the other, we will not have lost. For every lesson of this war is burned into our hearts and minds, every lesson. And the next war, the final war, we will win.
Didn't they ever tell you that that's why we're here? So there won't be another war?
There won't be another war.
No.
There will be. I will tell you why. Because although you may be able to blast your way through our fortifications, you will never be able to overcome the minds of our generals. Once again, in your war weariness, they will be forgotten. They and those of us who, no matter what democracies you force upon us, live and will live only for the victory of the Vaterland. Once again, in your bickering over the new markets of the world, once again in the quarreling of your politicians and sentimentalists over the peace tables, we will be forgotten. But your children will not forget us, Americans. The next time we will not waste ourselves on the Czechoslovakias of the world. America is the great power which has stood in our way for two generations. The next time the blood will flow in your streets. The next time you will be destroyed. Someone coming. Make no sound. Down. Quiet. Joe Patrol. Make no sound.
Fellows, look out.
Oh, there he goes. Get him. Joe. What? Oh, no. Oh, my God. Joe.
Sarge.
Joe, that shot. Did he?
Yeah.
We'll get him.
Sarge. Tell them to be careful. He seems like such a nice guy.
suspense. Ultralight and its 96,000 dealers present Mr. James Stewart in Mission Completed, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear.
ALRSP, ALRSP.
Hey, I'm the Autolite Resistor Spark Plug Salesman here.
I know, Harlow, but I'd like to get in a plug for the plugs.
Swell, let's have it again.
Sure. ALRSP.
Yes, ALRSP. Autolite Resistor Spark Plugs. And only Autolite Resistor Spark Plugs have that built-in 10,000 dome Autolite Resistor. That means 200% longer electrode life, less spark plug interference with radio and television. Why, with wide-gap resistor spark plugs in your engine, it idles smoother, runs better on leaner gas mixtures, actually saves you gas. So, friends, see your Autolite spark plug dealer and have him install a set of the new sensational Autolite resistor spark plugs in your car. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with James Stewart in Mission Completed, a special Pearl Harbor anniversary drama, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Are you all right for the night, Tom?
How do you know when he's all right?
Tom and I have a secret code, don't we, Tom? He blinks once for yes and twice for no. Are you okay, Tom? Night.
Okay? Sure, I'm okay. I've been okay ever since I got liberated from Sagamo Prison in 1945 from Tokyo. Yeah, ever since I woke up in this veterans hospital 4 years ago, I've been okay. I got nothing to do but lie flat on my back and let my eyes wander over the ceiling and look down at Suki smiling down at me. Suki seems to smile down at me from that little plaster square in the ceiling that reminds me of the prison yard in Sagamo. He can't help but smiling and laughing, knowing that I can't get at him. Suki knows I'm paralyzed. He knows I can only blink my eyes once for yes and twice for no. You see, Suki was in charge of the camp at Sagamo, and he helped slaughter guys like Camel and Jones, Mayberry and Evans, and oh, too many more to count. First he starved them until they couldn't crawl, and then... Well, anyway, just before we got liberated, I fuzzed up in the mine and couldn't remember anything. Sometime later, I wake up in a vet's hospital, California, USA. And I've been on my back for 4 years staring at that little square. Oh, once in a while, they dump me into a wheelchair and push me out into the sunshine, wheel me up and down the walk like I was a baby. Only babies can cry.
Which road today, Tom? Do we go down the walk to the grounds or the sidewalk down by the flower shop? Just open your eyes wide if it's the sidewalk. Well, good. We'll see all the flowers. Oh, here comes Janet Willing Murdoch. You remember him?
Hello, Tom. Hello, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Janet. How you doing?
Getting in shape for the dance tonight. Am I really?
I'll see you there. Isn't Janet a pretty girl? I'll bet you have a nice girl someplace. Come on now, haven't you? We're almost to the flower shop, Tom. Ooh, see that man in the window? Isn't that a pretty bouquet he's getting together? Well, look how tan he is. Oh, he's Japanese.
I'm sitting in a wheelchair, paralyzed, looking at a man in a flower shop window. And the man I'm looking at is Suki. And while I'm looking at him, something's happening to me. My fingers that I haven't worked in 4 years are grabbing the arms of the wheelchair, and my legs are straining and pushing against the floor. The same legs I haven't used in 48 months, and I want to cry out, and I feel my tongue getting ready to...
Tom? Tom, what's the matter with you? Come on, Tom. Now relax. Maybe you don't like flowers. That's just like a man. Doesn't like flowers. Do you want to go home now, Tom?
It's Suki. The man in the flower shop window, and it's Suki. I know it is. If we could just get closer, all I have to do is look at that scar down the side of his face. I gave him that scar in Sagamo.
Do you want to go home now, Tom? Now, don't frown like that. Tom, what's the matter? Do you want to go closer? Okay, if you want to go closer to the flower shop.
It was Suki, all right. Yeah, it was silky. We got real close to the flower shop, and I got a good look. The scar on his face stood out like a half moon. He was busy with flowers. Flowers! I couldn't imagine him working with flowers, but it was silky. And this time, I didn't clench my fingers or strain my legs. I just lay back in the chair and relaxed and began to plan. I began a plan that I'd started the day I looked around and found myself in a Jap prison camp. A plan that almost worked the day Suki got that scar. It didn't work that day. It's gonna work now.
I'll leave you here by the door a minute, Tom. Then we'll put you to bed. All right, Tom. Tom, how did you get moved over there? Didn't I leave you right here by the door? Tom, did you will yourself over there? Oh, so that's it. Somebody came in here and gave you a push. One day, you'll be pushing that chair around like mad, Tom. Just you wait. All right now, we'll get ready for bed.
You ready for me?
Just about.
Okay.
Would you bring Dr. Benson here?
Okay.
Can't imagine who just walked in here and gave you a shove. Wouldn't it be funny if you did it yourself and didn't know it?
You sent for me, Miss Rhodes?
He must have used his hands. He wheeled himself across the room.
Uh-huh. How are you tonight, Tom? I think that sunshine is doing you some good. Tom, did you move yourself across the room? If you did, blink your eyes once. And if you didn't, blink them twice. No, you didn't do it, huh? That's all. Thank you, Tom.
I got myself in a jam already. It's funny how I grabbed those wheels instinctively. I guess I just gave myself a shove. And now I'm in bed and looking up at the little square. And the hospital's quiet except for Murdoch, who you can always hear mumbling someplace far off. So then I'm turning over on my face in the bed, moving muscles I haven't moved in over 4 long years. And in a moment, I was sitting up. I was trying to light my own cigarette. And then I got so exhausted, I decided to wait until the next night. It was the same thing over again. Night after night, I practiced it, being alive. 10 days later, I got out of bed, stood up, and 2 weeks later, I was so strong, I walked around the room 10 times. I never felt better in my life. And that night, I nearly got caught. I was sitting in my chair, smoking a cigarette. I scrambled into bed.
Asleep, Tom? You've been having visitors, Tom. The air is full of smoke. Tom, are you asleep?
That was a close one. Nothing ever came of it, though I was more careful after that. A week went by. Every day brought me closer and closer to Suki, and Suki closer and closer to some of his own medicine right back in his face. And then something happened that spoiled everything.
Tom, we've got some good news for you this morning.
Look how wide his eyes are. Better not keep him waiting.
Tom, you're getting out of here. We're moving you to within 20 miles of your old hometown. You're going to Colville Hospital.
Better tell him when.
Yes, tomorrow morning.
He doesn't seem to like it. Tom, what's the matter?
Suki was laughing now. He stood in that little square in the ceiling and laughed out at me because he knew I was going away and I'd never get out of it. So they were shipping me out on Sunday. And then tomorrow was Sunday. And then I had a plan. I had a desperate plan. It might work and it might not. But if it did, it would bring Suki right into my room. You see, the plan wouldn't work, but today was Saturday. And right the day before they were shipping me out on Colville, 3,000 miles away. Today, yeah. Today was Saturday. And on Saturday, well...
This is your last spin around the grounds, Tom. And here comes Jackie. I'll bet you forgot this was Saturday and Jackie's out of school. And he's going to play Mr. Wheelchair Conductor. Hello, Jackie. Ready to take over?
Sure thing, Miss Rhodes.
Now, get him lots of sun and keep him out the full time. Then when you're through, you can help Janet with Murdoch.
Yes, Miss Rhodes.
See you later. You be careful.
You bet.
All right, kid, you can stop.
Did you say something?
I said stop right here.
Gosh, I didn't know you could talk, mister. Sure, I'll stop right here, but maybe I'd better get an orderly.
Now stay right here and shut up. Listen to me. You and I are gonna have a little secret. Are you with me?
What kind of a secret?
You just don't say anything about what you see or hear until tomorrow. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to help a soldier, or are you going to spill everything?
Well, I'll help, of course.
All right, now, keep pushing me until we get to that tavern down there, and push me into that little alcove there. Come on. What are we waiting for? Hurry up.
Yeah, mister, yeah, but I shouldn't be doing this, should I?
It's the best thing you ever did. Now go into that tavern and get me $3 worth of quarters. Here's $3. I'm going to use this phone, and don't get any funny ideas about calling the hospital. You're working with me, aren't you, kid?
I guess so.
All right, now. I'm going to put you through on the other side of this glass of this phone booth. Stay right there where I can see you. Get me?
Yes, sir.
All right, here it goes.
You shouldn't get up. Hey, don't try to get out of your wheelchair.
I'm already out. All right, now stand right there. Stand where I can see you. Long distance, one.
Long distance?
I want to talk to Bill Mason in Mason's real estate office in San Bernardino.
What is your name, please?
My name's Tom Warner.
That will be $1.25 for 3 minutes. Please deposit $1.25 for 3 minutes.
$1.25.
Here is your party.
Hello, Bill.
Hello. Who is this?
It's Tom. Tom Warner.
Who are you kidding? Who is this?
It's Tom. It's Tom, you dope.
Why,
what's the matter?
I just can't get it through my thick head, that's all. Last time I heard about you...
I know, but it's all over now. I'm alive. Now listen, Bill. Listen close. Listen awful close. Bill, Suki's alive.
Suki?
Yeah, Suki. He's working at a flower shop in the hospital here.
Are you crazy?
No. I've seen him. I've watched him. I've noticed all his gestures. Yeah, he's got that scar that I gave him right on the side of his face. Hey, you listening?
Yeah. Go on.
Now, I want you to get a hold of Curly, and tonight the three of us will blast him right off the face of this earth.
Tom, are you okay?
What's the matter with you? I found Suki. He's right here in the United States where we can get at him.
But if you're sure it's Suki, why don't you call the cops or the FBI?
Because I know what'll happen to him then. He'll end up in an American jail, and he'll have a nice, soft bed to sleep in. And he'll get 3 good hot meals a day. Yeah, he'll get all the comforts of home. Look what he gave to us. Not on your life, Bill. Now look, if you start driving now, you'll be here by 9 o'clock.
Tom, the war is over. I forgot all that stuff a long time ago. I want you to forget it, too.
Yeah, sure. And you can forget it all if you want to. I know why you're forgetting. It's because you're chicken, that's why. You haven't got the guts to face him, and you're lousy and yellow, and your backbone has turned to sponge. Oh, I only wish Mayberry and Evans were here to listen to all the lousy rot that was dripping out of you.
Tom, what's the matter?
I'm blacking out.
Hang on, Tom. What place are you calling from? Tom! Tom, where are you? Tom!
Wouldn't you like to know?
Autolite is bringing you Mr. James Stewart in Mission Completed, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Because I'm from the SALRP SPS, Cell Autolite Resistor Spark Plug Society.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm a charter member. Since I've been on the job, millions and millions of Autolite Resistor Spark Plugs have been sold.
Sure, we know. And that's why we've decided to award you the Velvet Hammer.
The Velvet Hammer?
Yes, it's for nailing down sales with subtle finesse.
Don't need one. Autolite resistor spark plugs are so good, they sell themselves. Why, those worthy wizards of cars, Autolite resistor spark plugs mean faster starts at low temperatures. With that exclusive built-in 10,000 dome Autolite resistor, Autolite resistor spark plugs let your engine idle smoother, run better on leaner gas mixtures, save you gas. And friends, Autolite resistor spark plugs have a 200% longer electrode life. Cut down on spark plug interference with radio and television. So stop at your neighborhood Autolite dealer and have them install a set of the wide gap Autolite resistor spark plugs or the famous regular type Autolite spark plug, long recognized for dependability. Remember, either way, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our star, James Stewart, in Mission Completed. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
What happened to him?
Tom! You Tom, can you hear me?
Oh, help me, kid.
Gee, you shouldn't have gotten up, mister. There. While I brace the chair, just lie back. There.
There. I'll be all right. Maybe I need a little air.
Gee, you look as white as a sheet.
Now, don't go saying anything about this, kid. Just keep your mouth shut till tomorrow, will you? Tomorrow morning I'll be going away. Promise me that.
Well, okay.
Okay. Now take me home.
Yes, sir.
I was back in my room, flattened down like a pancake, and the bed in the room kept spinning around. It wouldn't stay still. Pretty soon, I got a sort of second wind. I decided to try to get up out of bed. I found I could get up okay, but I was awful weak. I'd just about given up on my plan when I happened to look out the window. The day watchman was changing places with the night patrolman, and the item that caught my eye was a big, fat revolver bulging at the man's side. Maybe my plan would work after all. I didn't need Bill Mason or Curly or anybody else. No, all I needed were my two hands and a little bit of luck. Now, let's see. I'd have to make another phone call. There's a phone on this floor right in front of Murdoch's door.
Hiya, Tom. Hiya, Tom.
Now, what's the number? 186, that's it.
Hospital Flower Shop.
Hello, this is Dr. Benson.
Ah, yes, doctor.
Would you send a bouquet of flowers? That is, I mean roses. A lot of big roses up to 411?
411.
You see, one of the patients is leaving, and we'd like to make him feel good. A sort of surprise before he goes to sleep. And the ward's quiet, you see, about 9 o'clock this evening.
Okie dokie. You want some ferns to go with it?
Yeah, I think that'd be nice. Just a minute. Who delivers at that hour? Have you got someone?
Oh, yes. I deliver myself just before I close up. Okie dokie.
All right. All right. Thank you. I just got the phone back on the hook when Dr. Benson and two nurses came walking out. Like a shot, I dropped to the floor of the phone booth and tried to double up like an accordion. My heart beating so loudly, I was afraid they would hear it. But drowning out my heart was Murdoch saying something.
Hiya, Tom. Hey, Tom's on the floor.
Don't be silly.
Yeah.
I held my breath, but they kept on walking down the hall and turned into the solarium. I got up, got open the door, and almost fell across the hall into my room. I lay on the bed, gasping and waiting for my pulse to get back to normal. It was 8 o'clock, getting dark outside. The only sound was the clock ticking in the hall. I was getting all the breaks. A summer shower had just come up, a light wind blowing. I got down the hall all right into the solarium to the fire escape. It was easy going down, hugging the shadows. Pretty soon, I was at the bottom. I spotted the patrolman sitting at ease in the tool shed. He was trying to stay out of the rain. My hand closed around a broken brick that had fallen off the building. I crept up in back of him. I got the brick ready to smash him on the head when I realized he was asleep. I took a step real close. And then I had his revolver, and I was pointing it right into his eyes, which were still blinking off some sleep. And then he muttered and started to yell.
Hey, what the...
One little whisper, and this goes right off in your face. Now get up and get into that tool shed. Open the door and crawl in. Come on, quick. Now take an adhesive tape and tie your feet together. Hurry up. Hurry.
What are you trying to do here, fella?
Shut up and do as I say.
I made him tie his feet together with adhesive tape and lie flat on his face while I wound long strips of tape around his wrists.
Ow! Take it easy!
I tied his wrists together, then I hogtied his wrists and his feet and pulled them tight behind him. Then I turned him over on his side and crammed two handkerchiefs into his mouth. Put long strips of tape around those. Ugh. The rain was coming down in buckets as I made my way back to the fire escape. I made the first two flights. Then, and three. Finally, I hit four. I slid out on my face out cold. I don't know how long I lay on those iron bars of the fire escape. It was too long for my plans. Now, there was nobody in the hall, so I ran for it. Still nobody in the hall. Still nobody. Nobody in my room. I slid open the door and I started for the bed. The bed had met me halfway there and I lay there soaking wet with a gun sticking out of my pocket. I spun the cylinder and I saw six .45 caliber bullets. 15 minutes went by and then it was 9 o'clock. The ward was very quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. Nothing sounded until I heard the sound of the elevator and it stopping on four. Someone had just gotten out of the elevator and was padding down the hall. And it was the same little shuffle I'd heard every day for 3 years in a bug-infested hellhole called the prison camp. Yeah, the footsteps, the same footsteps, the footsteps that used to turn my brain to water and send my heart right down to my shoes. The footsteps that meant someone was gonna get it. And I wanted to yell and scream, "Come on, Suki, it's different now. Come on, Suki, I'm waiting for you." I couldn't breathe. Every breath I took drowned out Suki's shriek. So I just took short little breaths. And then I waited. And I had to grab the revolver with both hands to keep it steady. And Suki was getting closer. So I released the safety catch and tried to keep my wobbly hand steady. He was almost here now. And the knob was turning in the door. "Suki! Suki, this is for Campbell! And this is for Jones! And this is for Mayberry! And Evans! And Murphy!"
Tom!
I killed Suki.
Yes, you killed Suki, Tom. He's dead, and he'll never bother you again. You killed him.
Yes, I did. I killed Suki.
Now give me the gun, Tom. That's it. Yes, you killed Suki in your mind. He's dead in your mind. You can forget him now, Tom.
I think I better sit down.
Miss Rhodes, shove that wheelchair out of the room. You can sit in a chair, Tom, but not in a wheelchair. You're through with that for good.
What? What's that?
Now, Jimmy, are you all right?
Yes, Doctor.
No powder burns?
No, I'm fine, Doctor.
Good. Now, Tom, I want you to meet Jimmy Cato, who works in our flower shop here, and who was Lieutenant Cato in the armed forces in Italy not too long ago.
I killed Suki. I killed him. Suki, I...
Yes, in your mind, you killed Suki, Tom. And you're okay now. The man you thought was Suki was Jimmy Cato. He was born and raised in this community, and he has almost as many medals as you have. Now I want you to shake hands with him.
I'm paralyzed. All I can do is blink my eyes.
No, you're not, Tom. You're going to shake hands with Jimmy and thank him.
Hello, Cato. I'm sorry.
No, nothing to be sorry about. When Dr. Benson told me about your reaction the other day, I was glad to help out.
You see, Tom, we're pretty thorough here. When you thought you saw Suki, Miss Rhodes made a notation that you flexed muscles you hadn't commanded in nearly 4 years. And so we went from there.
You must have pretty thick skin, Cato. I'm a pretty good shot.
No. Patrolmen on the ground always carry blanks. No bullets. You're going home tomorrow, Tom. Well on the way to complete recovery. In your mind, there's a big X mark, canceling out a nightmare of 4 years' duration. And written in huge letters is a beautiful sign, Tom. And it says to you once and for all, mission completed.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. James Stewart.
Oh, Mr. Wilcox!
Well, Gracie Allen, what are you doing here?
Well, I came to ask you and Jimmy Stewart if you can fix it with Autolite for my husband's sugar throat burns to sing on Suspense. Our sponsor will hear it and realize what a great singer George is. And then he'll let him sing on our show on Wednesday night.
Well, look, Gracie, suspense is all booked out for next week. Mickey Rooney will be on.
How about the week after that, Mr. Stewart?
No, they're booked up for that week, too. Lana Turner will be here that week. A matter of fact, they're booked up for the next, 4,000 weeks.
Oh, 4,000 weeks would be about...
That's 80 years.
Well, how about the week after that?
Well, Gracie, I gotta go leave, you know, tell George he's got all my condolences.
Really? I'm surprised they fit him. You know, you're so tall.
Gracie, would you mind if I got in one teensy-weensy word about autolite resistor spark plugs?
Teensy-weensy? Oh, you can do better than that. If George were here, I bet he could sing about your spark plugs.
Oh, I bet he could at that. Everyone is singing the praises of autolite resistor spark plugs. And that goes for the 400 other products made by Autolite for cars, trucks, planes, and boats in 28 plants coast to coast.
Those are nice lyrics.
Autolite also builds complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Batteries, spark plugs, generators, coils, distributors, starting motors, bullseye seam, head beam, headlights. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team.
You wouldn't want George to sing that?
No. Friends, don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
You're sure, Mr. Wilcox, that you wouldn't want George to sing that?
I'm sure.
Oh, well, good night and happy Autolite.
Next Thursday for Suspense, Mickey Rooney will be our star. The play is called For Love or Murder. And it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman McDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lude Gluskin. Mission Completed is an original radio play by John R. Forrest. James Stewart can currently be seen starred in the title of the MGM picture, The Stratton Story.
You can buy Autolite resistor or regular type spark plugs, Autolite stay full batteries, and Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. New World A Coming, report from the Western Front, was first broadcast on April 29, 1945. The fourth for the fifth episode, Surrender, was first broadcast on June 3, 1944. And the CBS production of Suspense, Mission Completed, was first broadcast on December 1, 1949. This has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and is sponsored by the Henrico County Division of Park Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effect artists for tonight's show were Karen Charlotte, Ori Cruz, Ronald Dillard, Bob Dutton, Alexander Godschalk, Tamaya Jefferson, James Nygren, Lois Purley, Riley Reed, Woody Robertson, Steve Siegfried, Will Veers, and Emmanuel Ray. Music was provided by Logan Byam. Sound booth operator and technical editor was Devin Langston. This show was directed by Dale Leopold, and the production manager was Jack Mooney. Visit our website, www.otarp.com, for upcoming shows and auditions. This is your announcer, James Nygren, saying goodnight, everybody, and happy listening.